Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the big news today is that DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief. Traded from the Titans to the Chiefs early this morning. That news came down literally about 5 minutes before Seth and I went on the air this morning. I'm looking up at the TV screen right now, and they've got big injuries in the receiving core with Juju Smith-Schuster now out. Rashee Rice is out for the year with a knee injury. Hollywood Brown is out with an injury that, as you just mentioned to me off the air, Seth, James Palmer reporting he may be back later this year, Hollywood Brown.
And he's
obviously a speed guy that would complement Hopkins really well.
So DeAndre Hopkins has 11 regular season games to get comfortable in that offense. Yeah. And he's saying, James Palmer's saying that he's told there's a real chance Hollywood Brown could return by the time of the playoffs.
Okay.
And then I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to come back
too,
most likely.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, they've got, they're for a team that's 6-0 right now, and yet, you know, does not look like the version of the Chiefs that we've seen in the past. They've got reinforcements coming.
They do.
Andy, I think DeAndre Hopkins, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes are going to utilize DeAndre Hopkins at this stage in his career where he's 31 years old and not the same guy he used to be. They're going to get more out of him than most other teams in the NFL.
It's a good pickup for them. They need it. They're giving up, reportedly, depending on how you look at it, a conditional fifth or fourth. It's a fifth that could go to a fourth, depending on – I'm guessing certain playing time parameters. I'm guessing the Chiefs don't need to have a AFC title game or Super Bowl incentive in there to make the trade worth it. They tend to make that every year.
Yeah, we were talking about this. There doesn't seem to be a standard reporting on the conditional pick when you call it. I always thought that you use – so, like, Schefter reported this as a conditional fourth-round pick,
yeah,
which means that if the conditions are met, it's a fourth-round pick. If not, it's a fifth-round pick. I feel like depending on which way you want to frame it, some people are calling it a conditional fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Probably depends on the likelihood of whatever the conditions are.
Yeah, I just know Devontae Adams was reported as a conditional third, and it could become a two, you know, if he makes All-Pro or the Jets, he's active for an AFC title game or a Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. In fourth or fifth round, who cares? They got DeAndre Hopkins now for a day three pick. And this is the third wide receiver trade that's been made in the last week that all somehow could show up on the Texans' front doorstep here. We know that they're going to face Devontae Adams a week from tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. We know they're going to face DeAndre Hopkins in week 16 on the Saturday before that Christmas game against the Ravens. And there's a chance, you know, if the Texans go on to win the division, there's a real chance that they could see the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs, and that's where Amari Cooper factors in, especially when we saw these two teams already play, and the lack of wide receiver help for Josh Allen was the storyline of that game.
Well, the other thing, too, is that if you think back to, what's DeAndre Hopkins really going to do, or how much does he make them better? All I know is that DeAndre Hopkins was very specifically one of the guys that got Jalen Petrie moved away from being a full-time safety. It's just that because Jalen Petrie bit hard on some double moves by DeAndre Hopkins at the end of last season that Will Levis just didn't have the arm to cash in on. There could have been a couple lethal blows by DeAndre Hopkins, but Will Levis just couldn't deliver the ball. That's what I would worry about, is that he is still a really vicious route runner. He's still really good at the 50-50 balls, all that stuff. He's never been an incredibly fast guy, so any loss of speed or separation doesn't matter as much when you've got a guy like Mahomes throwing on the football. So, yeah, I think it's a very real consideration that, yeah, this is a guy that's going to make the Chiefs a better team when you face them, especially late in the season when, I don't know when Hollywood Brown comes back.
Right.
Maybe that's one of the first times he comes back.
Yeah, I feel similar, Seth. I feel similar about Hopkins to the Chiefs as I do something you and I talked about earlier on the show, the potential for Matthew Stafford, say, to go to the Vikings, where he's going to a team, if he were to go. There are Matthew Stafford of the Vikings trade rumors, so we were just hashing them out earlier on the show. Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings is a head coach that gets the best of every quarterback that he coaches. He hasn't, undeniably, he's done that in Minnesota. Similarly, I feel like you can take any wide receiver from wherever janky situation they were in, plunk them down in Kansas City, and Andy Reid is going to get the best version. Like, Mecole Hardman got a big contract from the Jets, and they were done with him midway through last season. So they just bring him back in, and he catches the game-winning pass in the Super Bowl. They traded for Kadarius Toney and got something Kadarius out of him Toney. For a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there were people who delusionally thought that Kadarius Toney all of a sudden was a changed man. And like, oh, no, he's a linchpin.
Right.
He's a linchpin on this. No, they got the absolute best out of him. Nobody was able to get anything out of him before.
Tony's a clown. Like Hopkins is a pro.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So
they'll get the best out of
him.
They
will get the best out of him, I think. And that's concerning if you're really any team in the AFC. But the only one I care about is the Texans. That's concerning if you're a Texans. The only silver lining is you're not going to see him in those two Tennessee games. But I think you can beat Tennessee. Even they've got rags at quarterbacks. They got nothing. I wonder how
the offensive line could handle Tennessee. Actually, no, their defense is pretty solid.
They're actually not a bad roster, but their quarterback play is so bad. That's why they're 1-5. I wonder how Calvin Ridley feels today. Because I'm guessing Calvin Ridley signed a big deal to go to Tennessee. I'm guessing in part because Hopkins was there and not like I'm guessing Calvin Ridley isn't feeling today like, oh, cool, now I'm going to get all the targets. Like, no, your life just got a whole lot harder, Calvin Ridley. Like, you're the only guy they got to worry about now offensively in that receiving core.
Yeah, yeah, you know, no, I think he probably is like trying to figure out a way. Like, how come it couldn't have been me?
Yeah.
Have I not done enough to show you?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yep. So it's on to the Colts for the Texans. Here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about the magnitude of this Colts game coming up.
Man, you couldn't say it any better, right? Huge game for us, division opponent, rival game. We know they're coming in after us, and I love that, you know, you don't want to lose, but I love that our guys are a little ticked off going into this game. Like, man, you got, you know, this game for first place in the division in our house, like it means everything. So how we show up, what's our attention to detail? Like we can't come back in here next Monday and talk about, oh, we have to get this done.
Right.
This is the most important game of our season right now.
Yeah, it's for all the good the Texans have done so far this season, and I get it, it's been a 5-2 that's been very much under a microscope so far by everybody, and I think rightfully so. I think there's some big things they needed to clean up early in the season, and there's some huge things they need to clean up now, but they're still 5-2. Did not expect to be sitting here with the Colts right on our ass in week 8 to where this was a game that will be if the Colts win, it's a virtual tie they're both 5-3. You know, like that's for all the winning we felt like we've had, I did not expect to be here in week 8 with Anthony Richardson being 60 minutes away from being tied with the Texans this season.
Well, I think that if you look at just the way Richardson played last week, went 10-for-24 for 129 yards, lost the fumble. He's completed 10 or fewer passes in 3 wins this season, and yet they've won those games. Yeah. So one of the things that he did was like he spun out of pressure and extended plays against the Dolphins, and it's not going to look like conventionally good or winning quarterback play at all, but he has the ability to lose you a game but also keep you in the game, and at any given moment he might reel off a pass that's unlike any pass anybody's ever thrown before for a touchdown. It's just, there's nothing. Normally, I'd be going into a game saying, wow, this guy has only thrown for more than 50% completion rate in one game this year.
Yeah.
He's at a career 53% completion rate. This year, he's below 50%. Mm-hmm. And yet, on any given Sunday, he terrifies me.
Yeah.
Because physically, he can do things that other people can't do. It's not a recipe for winning football in the long run or anything, but on any given Sunday, he's just a headache and a nightmare.
He only completed 9 against the Texans in that game, and they almost won it. Because 3 of them were for 54 yards or longer.
Thank God, because he airmailed the most wide-open receiver that's ever been.
Yeah.
He airmailed a receiver who had 20 yards of green around him.
Yep.
It was. Thank you, Anthony Richardson.
Had a good game here last year in week 2 before he got knocked out with a concussion. Speaking of that week 1 game, here was D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show talking about what can you take from that game, the win over the Colts in week 1.
Yeah, there are definitely things I think you carry forward. Like, hopefully we can still establish a run. But they know us well, we know them well. So, of course, they'll try to, you know, put more resources towards stopping the run. They have to, right? And for us, defensively, like, they threw the ball over our head a couple of times, so they have to be looking at that again. Like, man, can we get those same plays again? If not, you have to try them, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be ready to defend those plays. And, of course, there will always be wrinkles off of what you've shown your opponent. You try to add some wrinkles to see if you can, you know, hit them another way to try to get some explosive play.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the first deep shot downfield to whoever D'Angelo Ross is covering in this game. I'm terrified of that.
And that's one thing, like, Alec Pierce has, I think he's at the second highest yards per catch. Like, Alec Pierce is, just as we saw with the Texans, against the Texans, he's a very viable deep threat.
Huge.
And they don't go to him a lot, but they're mindful of that.
Yeah.
And if you screw up, if you make mental errors on the back end, if you bite on a double move, yeah, they're going to get you. And Anthony Richardson's very capable of doing those things. So the big play on defense is of crucial importance this week. This team can slaughter you with a deep shot.
No doubt. The timing for this game for the Texans going against the Colts, we'll see. From a Texans perspective, the timing is poor because you're going to be missing Nico Collins. And Nico has evolved into a Colts killer. He's evolved into basically what T.Y. Hilton was to Texan fans. He has been that to Colt fans over the last few games, these two teams, really since C.J. got here, games against the Colts have been just a feast for Nico Collins. And conversely, the Colts are starting to get healthier here. The two big names, one on either side of the ball, that they've been missing the last few weeks, which again makes their 4-3 record right now pretty impressive, that they've been doing it without DeForest Buckner, who's been on injured reserve. He's expected to return to practice this week, Seth. That is very bad news for the interior of the Texans' defensive line. Now, he was out there in week one, and the Texans did a lot of good things offensively. But he's expected to return. He's a really good player. Jonathan Taylor will try to return to practice this week for the Colts. He's been banged up as well. Which one of those is bigger for this game, getting Buckner back or getting Taylor back? Like, if you're a Texan fan, which one do you want to see less? Like, do you... Only one can.
I want to see. I'm torn because, you know, that first week, I had real high hopes for the interior offensive line with some of the work they did against those offensive tackles.
Yeah.
They had some really good snaps against Grover Stewart. And it was like, okay, this might be a different version of the Texans' offensive line. Maybe there's something about the Colts that they can recapture and they can look at, okay, what went wrong? Because the Colts did some things that confused the Texans on the offensive line, and ultimately it didn't win the game for them or anything, right. But it was teams started copying it almost immediately when they saw how shaky the Texans were at picking up blitzes and what have you. So maybe they can recapture a little bit of that. So I'm going to be more worried about Jonathan Taylor than I am DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, they really shut Taylor down the first time these two teams played. 16 carries, 48 yards for Taylor the first time. So we'll see what we'll see what happens. Noon kick here on Sports Radio 610 on Sunday. Again, you guys are continuing with these texts. Not going to read that the O-line for the Texans would fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I'm not going to. It's a Beverly Hills Cop reference, everybody. That's what that is.
How do you fall for the banana in the tailpipe, though? You don't really. You can't be aware of it, right?
No. Fair
like
point.
Somebody, they slip it in while you're there. So I'll give the Texans offensive line a pass on that one.
Okay.
I think that would people feel comfortable doing it to them knowing that they're not going to be able to chase you down and beat you up? Yes.
Right.
I feel comfortable with that.
Right.
I feel like the Texans offensive line, when they find out that you put a banana in their tailpipe, would get very litigious. They would sue you immediately.
Oh, yeah.
You have no fear of like physical retribution.
Physical
or
harm. Yeah. I bet the Texans O-line uses the huddle to talk about their feelings. Not going to read that, okay? Jeez. You guys are relentless.
Laramie's talking to Titus. I just feel like they're singling me out with these false starts, and it just doesn't seem fair.
Got a target on my back.
Just feels like everybody's out. It's just like I can't, I try to do things the right way, and they just keep bringing up old stuff.
The O-line needs Joe Mixon to open their pickle jars for them. Oh man.
They need a Gumba Wally to open their pickle jars for him. That's who they ask to do that. Hey, we need a pass blocker.
Yeah.
Should we bring in a sixth offensive lineman? God, no. God, no.
Who's?
We've got a 30-year-old reserve running back that I trust more against defensive linemen than any of these godforsaken fools.
Like every good NFL team, you ask them, who's your best pass protector? And it's like the left tackle, the right tackle, maybe a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame interior guy. Texans. Dario Gumbawale, he's our best pass protector.
Yeah. We really want to run the ball this week. Should we experiment with some six offensive line packages? No, I think Tank Dell coming inside the block is probably better than anybody on the offensive line right now. So let's just go ahead and do that. Hey, these tight ends don't seem to know their ass from their forehead when it comes to pass blocking. What should we do with them? Whoever Laramie's supposed to block, we need to preserve Laramie Tunsil's pressures stats. Let's just be sure that we have tight ends and running backs blocking the defensive ends instead of anybody but Laramie. We need to preserve his ego. Yes.
Somewhere along the way, the slew of texts coming in went from being offensive line texts to Sean texts. Sean sips his beer with a straw. Sean puts a straw in his can of Diet Coke, and every people are not on my side about the gloves and the crawfish either, as expected. They're like,
is there something? Speaking of cola, I was just thinking about this the other day when I was sneaking in a super meal. I always feel so weird about it, but I always get a Diet Coke if I supersize anything,
and
somehow it just feels right.
Yeah.
Like it just that. You know what it does? It releases me to enjoy all the other crap that I'm putting into my body.
Because
I know that the sugar ultimately like just shoves it way over the top. And I know that they probably put 19 packets of sugar in everything else that doesn't even taste sugary.
Right.
There's something about me drinking a Diet Coke with all those extra chemicals that somehow makes it just negates it. It cancels everything out.
For me, I do the same thing. And for me, it's because it's a microcosm of my actual life where it's like, I'm like being 30% responsible right now. You know, that's
pretty good. Yeah.
That's how I've done. That's what I've been throughout my years on Earth here, like 30% responsible.
It's like if I have a Diet Coke now, then I can have 7 Egg McMuffins tomorrow morning.
Bingo. Thank you. Uh-huh. Touchdown. You make miracles happen. All right. The offensive line is catching all kinds of heat. Who is catching the most heat on the Texans right now? We got to do a heat check here. Who is catching the most heat on the Texans right now? We will discuss coming up next.